Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning. I'm so pleased to be with you today to continue our series, Let's Go. What's your story? Everybody's got a story, and maybe you're watching me today and you're a Christian. I'd love to know your story. Maybe one time we could get together and you can tell me your story, your journey of how you became a Christian. Everyone's got a unique journey, and I guess as you look back, there was one point where someone explained the good news, how you could have a relationship with Jesus. I reflect on my journey, and not only did I hear about the good news, I also saw the difference that it had made in people's lives. In our families, we are blessed. I can go back four or five generations on both sides, and they knew Jesus as their own personal savior. Maybe you're the first person in your family to begin a relationship with Jesus. That's a really significant thing because you have started a new legacy. What's your story? Who was it that introduced you to Jesus? Today I want us to go on a little journey as we reflect on not just your story, but our story. Do you know that 1,500 years ago, it's a long, long time, Columba came to this island. He came to Scotland with Christianity. 500 years ago, John Knox reformed the church here in Scotland. If we can maybe speed things up to more recent times, to 140 years ago, the Faith Mission Pilgrims traveled throughout our nation, into the rural parts of our country, two people at a time, sharing the gospel with those who they met. Even here in our northeast corner, evangelists like James Turner preached about knowing Jesus in a personal way. D.L. Moody came from America and held tent missions in our country. Jock Troop preached on the streets and filled churches, winning people and bringing them into a relationship with Jesus. And of course, Pastor Simon preached in churches, preached on the streets, told about the radical transformation that he had experienced and how every single one of us needed to have that experience. All of these people were motivated and had a sense of urgency to go with the good news, to tell other people how they could have a relationship with Jesus. And although these people maybe got the headlines, there were many other supporters as well. People who brought others to these meetings. People who shared their own story and their own personal faith. You know, this church building has stood here for 150 years. Right here on Chapel Street, looking down the Queen Street on this corner, this building has stood and it's proved the test of time. Its purpose has always been to create a space where we can worship God together, but also to fulfill the mission of the church, to share the love of God, the good news with our community. And can I say to you, not only for the past 150 years, but as long as I've got breath in my body, this church will continue to worship God and to fulfill the mission of the church, to share the good news with our community. That is our goal. Our goal has always been to be outward focused, not just looking on the inside what's good for us, but always motivated with our love for God to love other people. Life change is the goal. I still believe that we will see in this town transformation, that we'll see people experience the radical life change that Jesus came to give to us. I believe that's the mission of the church and the local church here in Peterhead. 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood on a mountaintop and commissioned his disciples to go into the whole world, to make disciples of every nation. And now I reflect on my life. 2,000 years later, someone shared the gospel with me, and I accepted the invitation to enter into a relationship with Jesus. In 2,000 years, the gospel has spread from the side of Galilee all the way to Peterhead and to the uttermost parts of the world. What's your story? Who shared the gospel with you? I wonder who in your life responded to that command to go, to actually share their faith with someone else. I wonder today, will you answer that instruction? Will you go to others? Will you make the choice not to keep this good news to yourself, but to go to people in your family, in your community, and in your neighborhood? Jesus told his disciples to meet him on a mountaintop at the side of Galilee, a very significant location. It shadows back to Moses on Mount Sinai when he would bring those 10 commandments. And on that mountaintop, a memorable and significant place, because Jesus had an important instruction for his disciples. They see Jesus, and the Bible tells us that when they saw him, they worshipped him. They saw the risen Jesus. But the Bible also says that some doubted. They were so overwhelmed at what they saw, they couldn't fully comprehend what they were seeing. And we pick up in Matthew chapter 28 these words of Jesus, some of his last words as he speaks to his disciples. We read from verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go." And he says the same to you today. If you know Jesus, he is speaking to you today and he is commanding you to go. To go and make disciples. Why can he give us this instruction? Because Jesus has all authority. When Jesus lived here on earth, he was restricted to his earthly body. But now he is risen, he has all authority given to him, not only on earth, but in heaven as well. And he gives this command to his disciples to go and make more disciples of him. And he commissions us too. In Luke chapter 14, we read a really interesting parable. Jesus is explaining to Pharisees who is able, who is welcomed into the kingdom of God. And for them, his response would have been very challenging and quite offensive. Jesus explains the upside down nature of his kingdom, that everyone's welcome. Even the lower statuses in society, those who were pushed away by the religious, are welcomed into his kingdom, into the family of God. And he explains this parable to communicate to these people that the kingdom of God is not now restricted to one nation, Israel, but is now going to be opened up to every nation. That's good news for you and for me. And Jesus speaks about a master who was putting on a banquet for his guests. And he tells his servants to go and let his guests know that the banquet is going to happen. And it's this first invitation. It's a heads up. Save the date. There's a banquet coming and you are welcome to join the banquet. And on this first invitation, it would have allowed the people to prepare themselves for that moment when the banquet was ready for them to attend. And Jesus here is pointing back to Moses and the prophets who came ahead to point towards Jesus who would come. That was the first invitation. And now, after he returns, the master says to the servant, "Now go again and tell all my guests that the banquet is ready for them." The servant heads out and goes to some of the guests, and they begin to hear excuses about how they could not come. Now, this second invitation was really to say, "The food is ready. The banquet is ready. Come now." And this points to Jesus when he came, the Messiah, when he came to open up the invitation for everyone to enter into the kingdom. But when the servant goes to the people in this parable, they respond by making excuses about why they cannot come. They decline the invitation. They reject the offer to come and sit at the table. And they make excuses like they've just bought a field. Now that field would have been there tomorrow, the next day, and forever. But they say, "I can't come to the meal because I've bought a field." And then the next one says, I've just bought some oxen, so I need to go and check them out, make sure they're okay." No one would buy oxen without first checking they were okay. And then the next guy comes along and says, "Well, I'm just married, so I can't come." And although there might have been reasons why in culture he couldn't come in that first year, socializing was not one of the reasons that he couldn't come. They all found excuses not to come. And when the servant comes back to the master and explains all these excuses, he is angry. And he says to his servant, "Now go into the city and go up all the streets and the alleyways, and you find the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And invite them to come." And he describes these people to really describe our spiritual condition, that in ourselves we are hopeless, that we are limited, we need help. And Jesus tells the servant to go first to inside the city. And we know that's what Jesus said when he came. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. He came to his own people. He came to those Jewish people. And the Bible tells us that some received him, but many did not receive him. And when the servant comes back to his master and says, "I've beaten them all inside the city, but there's still room left. There's still room left. There's still room." Now, when I heard those words this week, when I was reading this as I prepared, something within me leapt inside, because these are good news words. That there's still room in the kingdom. There's still room around the table. There's room for you. There's room for me. That even at this moment, there is still room for your loved ones. There is still room for those that have yet to receive the invitation to enter into a relationship with Jesus. There's still room for people in Peterhead and in our area that do not know Jesus. There's still room. And like that servant, we've got to go and find them. We've to go and reach out to them and show them the love of Jesus and welcome them and tell them, "You can come. Jesus wants you to sit at his table. He wants you to be part of his family." There's still room. As long as there is still room, we have to go. We have to tell those in our neighborhood, in our streets, in our schools, in our workplaces. We have to go to them and ask them, "Come on, the invitation's here for you. Jesus came for you. He loves you. There's still room." And when he comes back and tells the master this news, that there's still room and more, the master says, "Well, now you need to go outside the city. You need to go up to the highways and the byways. You need to find everybody and compel them to come. Don't take no for an answer. Express the urgency of this invitation and welcome them all to come." And here Jesus is telling us that no longer are we restricted. Is the kingdom restricted to those in Israel? Now we're going out to all the nations, even to Peterhead in Scotland. And until his house is full, we have to keep on inviting people to join in. Until the house is full. Until my house is full. You know, it's God's desire for everyone to come to him, for everyone to accept the invitation that he extends to us, to find relationship with him. And he is merciful, he is gracious. And his desire is that each one would come, and maybe you're watching me right now, and you don't know Jesus in a personal way. You know of him, you've heard all about him, but you don't have a real relationship with him. Well, in a couple of moments, I want to give you an invitation so that you can be part of the kingdom of God, that you can be part of his family, that you can enter into a relationship with Jesus. I still believe for a church of 500 here in Peterhead, and in doing so, we'll welcome more people into the kingdom. I'm believing for our community that we will see life change. Just think of the lives that have been changed over the past 150 years in this church through the faithful witness of those who have gone into our community, who have taken that message, let's go, and went to others and shared the good news. Come on, there's more. There are more people in this community that need to find Jesus, that need to come in. Until the house is full, we've got to keep on going. We've got to go. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of every nation. Well, how are we to do this? How are we to make disciples? Well, he does say two things. He says we have to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism is a witness to our community which testifies about the life change we've experienced. When we are baptized, that's when we go into the water, we're laid down into the water. That symbolizes that we're dying to our old life, and we're dying just as Jesus died, and we're letting go of our old life, and we're rising up just as Jesus rose from the dead into a new life. Really, baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. And Jesus commands us to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're actually identifying ourselves that we belong to our Father through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are making a public declaration that I'm no longer who I used to be. I'm a new creation. And that's when we express what God's already done within us. I wonder, you're maybe watching me today and you're a Christian, but you've never taken that step to be baptized. That could be your next step. I want to encourage you to be prayerful and just ask God to help you to get to that place where you can be baptized. And if you would like to, can you reach out to us? We'd love to help you on that journey. He also says that we are to teach them to obey everything I commanded you. No, when we hear this word obey, it can seem a bit intense, but really Jesus is teaching this in the context of relationship. When you love someone, that's a completely different relationship from someone who is just ruling over you. The relationship that we have with Jesus is first based upon and built upon the foundation of love. He loves you. And if you love Jesus, the more you love him, the more you want to obey him, because you realize that his words are life, that they are truth. And I wonder today, if you are following Jesus, are you obeying his commands? Are you keeping his commands? Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. What did Jesus command us to do? Well, Jesus has said quite a few things in the Gospels. To love one another, that was a command. To forgive one another. Sermon on the Mount, he teaches us how we should go the extra mile, how we should turn the other cheek. And of course, right here in this passage we've read today, he commissions us to go into the world and to make disciples of other people. See, if we are to be his disciples and we are to disciple others, then we need to be people who obey, who love Jesus, who love other people, who love Jesus so much that we're willing to obey his commands. Jesus commissioned us to go and to make disciples. There's a man called Ed Kimball. Quite a secretive kind of character in church history, but someone who played a really important part in really the church in the UK and in America as well. Ed Kimball was a Sunday school teacher, and he was someone who heard the Great Commission, decided that he wasn't going to just stay and keep his good news to himself, but he was going to go to other people. And there was a boy in his class, and he worked in a shoe shop. And Ed Kimball knew that he worked there, and he went in to visit him one day and shared with him about how he needed to have a relationship with Jesus. And in that shoe shop, that boy gave his life to Jesus. The boy went on to not only be a Christian, not only to believe in Jesus, but someone who obeyed the command, who followed the commission, who said, let's go, and went into all the world and made disciples of other people. He actually crossed over the Atlantic and found his way here into Scotland. He held crusades, he planted Bible colleges, he strengthened the local church, and without doubt had a huge influence on our culture here in the northeast of Scotland. His name was D.L. Moody. Everybody maybe has heard, or maybe you've heard of D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, but not everybody's so familiar with Ed Kimball. But if Ed Kimball hadn't been willing to say, let's go, hadn't had the conviction within him to go and share about why D.L. Moody needed to have a relationship for himself, who knows what would have happened. But he did. I wonder, who is there in your world? Who this week could you go to and just share the love of Jesus in a practical way, and when the moment's right, to share and explain about how they can know Jesus for themselves? I just wonder, there must be more. There must be people in our community that they've still to receive this invitation to enter into a relationship with Jesus. And they will go on to lead many others. I can't go back to that question I asked you right at the start. What's your story? Who shared the good news with you? Who was it that said, I'll go, I'll share the news with them? Who could you share your story with? Who could you go to this week? You know, Jesus doesn't leave us here to go through this life alone and work out how to be a good witness by ourselves. He said these words, I am with you always. And sometimes it can be intimidating, and we can feel nervous and lack confidence when it comes to sharing about what Jesus has done for us, but you need to know that you're not alone. He is with you. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He'll give you the right words to say. He'll fill your mouth when you maybe feel awkward and not sure what to say. Just share your story and tell them about what Jesus has done for you. Come on, it's time to go. It's time to go into our community to bring that message of hope, the good news. There's still room. There's still room for more to come. We're going to keep on going until his house is full. So you're watching me today, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've been living a life that you know that's not the life that God would want you to live. I want to give you an opportunity right now to say, Daniel, yes, this is it. This is my moment. I'm going to enter into a relationship with Jesus. I know I need to. But can you just follow me in this quick prayer? But mean it sincerely from your heart. So, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world. You went to the cross. You took my place. You bore my sin. You paid the price. You took the punishment that I deserved. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to make me a new person by the power of your Spirit. I confess you are my Lord. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that today for the first time, or maybe you've used this as a moment to recommit, can you reach out to us? Can you send us a message on Facebook or an email? Reach out to us. We'd love to connect with you, help you on your journey. Come on, church, let's go. Let's go until his house is filled. Let's go into our community. Let's share about what Jesus has done for us. And let's see our community one for Jesus. Let's go.